You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm Pooh.
What's your name?
My name is Alton W. Cooper.
And I'm Bill. Tonight, folks, we've got the Pledge Girls with us. Whenever you're ready.
Okay. Ready, Alton?
Yes. Yeah.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I really, really appreciate it. We'll see you guys later.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have, as we promised, our guest back in studio tonight, and he's going to be taking your calls for the next 2 hours. I'm talking about Bob Swan, and he's going to be talking about trust and answering your questions about trust. Now, listen to me carefully. The topic tonight is trusts, nothing else. If you call in, want to talk about something else, we're going to disconnect you. Not to be rude, but just because the topic tonight is trust. You have an expert here. Take advantage of it. Bob can answer your questions. And so I imagine that most of you have an awful lot of questions. And so Bob is going to be here to answer those questions. I'm going to get out of his way and let him do it. One reason is, as you can probably hear, my voice is not back to normal yet. Whatever this is just hanging on and hanging on and hanging on and hanging on. And I feel fine, but have this sore throat and it's just hanging on. And it's hanging on with everybody around here. They're just, you know, the whole valley's got it. Most people are very sick with it. And I'm not. I'm very thankful for that. I'm thankful to Dr. Wallach because that's probably why I'm not really sick like everybody else. Just sort of skating by with a sore throat. I have no idea what it is. Some kind of weird flu or something. Okay. I want you to listen to this, our lead-in selection tonight. We're only going to have two, folks. The lead-in and the lead-out. Or the lead-in and the shuffle-out. Whatever you want to call it. And in between, Bob's going to take your calls. And remember, the topic is trusts. Now, when you call, remember, Bob's new at this. Never done this before. When you call, make sure that you put your mouth directly in front of the phone and talk loud. Because Bob probably is going to be nervous, and he's not going to remember to tell you to do that. And if you don't do it, nobody is going to hear what you're talking about, and therefore, nobody's going to understand what Bob is answering. So please make sure that you do that. Remember, he's a guest on The Hour of the Time. Treat him right. If you don't, I'll just come in here and shut down the broadcast. You know me. I don't give a damn about ratings, and I'll do it in the second flat. So, here we go.
My child was born just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch, bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was spoken for a new and I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you.
Sing along with me.
And the cat in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man in the moon. When he's coming home, Dad, I don't know when. We'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time there.
that I'd like to see you. If you don't mind me, said I'd love to, Dad, if I could find the time. You see, the new job, the hassle, and the kids got the flu. It's been so nice talking to you, Dad. So nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he turned out just like me. My boy's a lot like me. And the cat in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man in the moon. When you're coming home, and I don't know when, we'll get together then, Dad. You know we'll have a good time then. We'll get together then, Dad.
Well, folks, as you know on this broadcast, everything has a meaning. And if you were listening to that musical selection, it's all about a guy who didn't pay any attention to his children all the time they were growing up. He kept putting it off. Well, I'll do it next time, or, you know, wait till next year, or next month, or when I get back from this trip, or it's always tomorrow. And so the father never was really a father. Then the children grew up, and they didn't have any kind of a relationship. And I guess the reason that we selected that to lead into the broadcast is to sort of set the scene for a question that you should be asking yourself. Are you that kind of a father? Are you that kind of a mother? What are you doing for your children, and how are you making sure that when you're gone, they can carry on? Are you one of those people, or are you one of those couples who say, well, we can't take it with us, and the children can make their own fortune, and so you're going to die and leave a whole bunch of money and houses and property and real estate for the lawyers to divide up amongst themselves with the state? Is that what you're doing? If that's what you're doing, it's wrong. And I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm also going to tell you something else. I want you to look around and look at the people in your room there, in your house, that are with you, and look them right in the eye. If you look them right in the eye and you tell them that you love them and you're not taking care of their future, then, you might get away with lying to them, but you can't get away with lying to me. The truth is, you don't love them at all. Now, you think about that while we get started with this broadcast. The number is 520-333-4578. Our guest tonight is Bob Swan, and he's here to answer your questions on trusts. You may be in trust now. You may be planning to go in trust. You may not know anything about trusts. You may want to know about trusts, but that's what tonight's broadcast is all about, trusts. And so whatever questions you have, now is the time to call and ask them for the next hour and about 50 minutes or 45 minutes. That's what it's going to be all about. 520-333-4578 is the number.
You know, what's absolutely incredible, Bill, is what sort of legacy...
You better talk to the microphone, Bob.
Oh, over there. What sort of legacy are we going to leave our children? What really upsets me is the stolen time. You know, the father, he was out busy trying to make a living and do what's right. But what's happening is our dreams are being stolen and time is being stolen. What we want to bring tonight is a message of hope. Because, quite frankly, I think the gates of hell have already opened up. And the way I relate to that statement is the power of our imagination was given to us by our Creator. And that spirit can only come out when we eliminate fear in our life. So don't be fearful. Dial the phone. Ask the question.
Numbers 520-333-4578, as soon as we get this rolling. I'm going to get out of the studio and let Bob carry the ball here because this is really his bailiwick. For those of you who don't know it, a lot of people in this country are either beneficiaries of trusts or trustees or have been grantors of trusts and then moved completely out of the picture and turned it over to a third party as trustees, or third parties, I should say, as trustees to manage and take care of their assets. And the reason is to protect the assets, from a lot of different kinds of assaults that we experience every day in our lives. Yes, good evening.
Yes, I was wondering, what is the difference between a trust and a will?
A will, when a person dies intestate, that is without a will. That's without direction. So a individual simply sit down and write their last will and testament. Wills, estates and in wills can be probated. Estates and trust are never probated if they're set up correctly. Did I answer your question? I guess our caller's gone. Are you still there? Thank you. Well, we're back here. I hope that answered the lady's question. You know, there's something very true about these three things that I'm going to read. Ask and you shall receive. What does that mean? What does it mean to you? When you ask, where is the question coming from? Is it coming from an interior portion of your being? Or is it coming from somewhere else? Good evening, you're on the air.
Yes, good evening, Bob. My question is, as regards to the complex trust, what implications for state income or state sales tax for a standard family retail business that might become incorporated under that?
State taxes still exist? That's the answer. State taxes, and anywhere you go, there's state required regulations and laws that you must abide to. Understand that a trust is not to get out of taxes and get out of state taxes and so on. It's a much more in-depth entity than it.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let me butt in here for a minute. See, he didn't hang up. The correct answer to that is you have to determine what taxes the trust is liable to file and pay. Once that's determined, then you have to go through and you have to file and pay the lawful and constitutional taxes which the trust is required to file and pay. If the trust is not required to file and pay any state taxes or particular state taxes, then of course that doesn't apply. But you're asking a question, blanket, that Bob can't really answer, neither can I. For instance, what kind of trust do you have? And have you gone into your particular state law and determined whether or not that trust, that particular type of trust, is liable to file and pay whichever one of the many various taxes that you're talking about? And remember, every state has different laws. So Bob can't answer questions that are peculiar to just your state. All he can do is answer general questions. And the answer to that general question is you have to determine, according to the laws of your state, which taxes your particular trust and that particular type of trust is liable to file and pay. There is some people are not liable to file and pay federal income taxes. Most people, if you want to get right down to it. Some people are not liable to file and pay state income taxes. And some trusts are not liable to file and pay certain state income taxes either. And state income taxes that are piggybacked upon the federal income tax usually follow along the same lines as whether or not you're liable to file and pay the federal income tax.
Always look and see and read the codes backwards. You'll find the exemptions when you read the codes backwards. Next caller. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bob. Hi, Bill. This is Renee in Michigan.
Hi, Renee in Michigan.
I have a question for you just out of curiosity. I am in a, what they call either a contract business trust or a UBO or a Massachusetts trust.
Mm-hmm.
What is the difference between the type of trust that we created, well, I shouldn't say we, legal terms, but what is the difference between a UBO and the type of trust that Bill is in?
Well, the complex trust is self-enacted law. A complex trust, based upon the declaration of trust, is that any person can create a trust document. When you go into a Massachusetts business trust, it's really a statutory-driven entity which falls within the guidelines of Massachusetts. And you'll notice various, when you read the document, you'll understand if there's a state law pertaining to it. Living trusts typically will have a renewal clause put into them. So it's very important that you understand the document and you create the document, because all it takes is you, the grantor creator, to create the law pertaining to your family organization.
Yeah, now the trust that we have set up, because we were business owners, we sold the company and basically put it into a what we call a contract business trust, which we are not the grantors or the creators, but we have a declaration of trust and everything's been put into trust for the beneficiary of another. But the business, you know, operates on a day-to-day basis. We just don't have ownership of the business or the assets anymore.
Well, it's very important when you organize a proper trust, mm-hmm. is that you don't create a gift tax. And from what you've described,
this definitely does not have a gift tax
issue.
The beneficiary is actually also an exchanger in the trust. So there is, with this trust, no probate. You know, there are still tax liabilities. At this point in time, we're not quite brave enough to forego the taxing issue. This is one step we've taken, I guess, for us, just to try and reduce some of the liability. Plus, if something happens to us, that there's no probate.
Well, without divulging any confidentiality or privacy issues, who is the beneficiary of the trust that was formed?
My sister.
Okay, so.
But she has no control or say.
I understand the beneficiary has no control in a properly organized trust relationship. So when the trust distributes income, then it has to be distributed to the beneficiary, which is your sister, which would create a taxable event to her.
Okay, so when the trust distributes income?
Whenever the trust distributes income, that's on line 18 on the 1041 form, and it's called an income distribution
Correct.
Deduction, or other deductions for other contracts.
The only income the trust distributes at this point is for those people that have subcontracts with the trust that actually work for the work for the company.
I see.
She is not obtaining an income at this point in time. And upon our death, then it's up to the trustee to decide whether the trust continues as a business entity, or the trust is, I guess, for the lack of a better word, dissolved. When we're gone, I guess whatever happens, we won't know about it.
Yeah, see, the situation that you're in is a complex trust will live on for generations as long as there's existing trustees in position.
Yes.
And so it won't dissolve. It'll go on generationally. And
yes.
In a properly formed multiple trust system, there is a flow to it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would suggest that you do is write a letter to Hour of the Time and Harvest Trust and send me a letter and put your phone number on it. And what I'll do is I'll call you back with some particulars and some information that I think you would find very beneficial to your situation. I'm not in the tax-giving position. I'm not a CPA.
Right.
So there are certain things that I would like to send to you, however.
Okay. I will do that.
All right. It was wonderful talking to you this evening.
Thank you for your time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So as we looked at those three items of we were talking about before, asking, you shall receive, that asking position is the thought. And seek, and you will find, and knock, and the door will be opened unto you. All of that is occurring right now.
Can I comment on the last caller? It sounded like there was a strange arrangement with that trust, because the trust has to exist for the sole benefit of the beneficiaries and nobody else. And the trust does not have to provide an income for the beneficiaries, but the trust must exist solely for the benefit of the beneficiaries, not for the trustees, not for contractors. And if the trust dissolves upon the death of the trustees, then all of the assets, all of the money, all of the property, all of the real estate, all of everything that belongs to the trust must immediately be dispersed to the beneficiaries who are in existence at that time.
Which is,
and they are the only ones that can get that stuff.
And that is the sister, and that's the liability that occurred. So the doors are swinging open, but the doors that are swinging open in a trust relationship, we talked about on the first broadcast, the natural law and the natural scheme of things, the way things work, the balance. And if something is out of balance, it's an agitation, it always has to go back in to some sort of natural flow. When you start thinking about the word trust and operating and living in trust, what law are you really living under? And I call it the law of stewardship. Charity, in the Christian definition, is love, and love should be unconditional, unconditional giving. Well, there was some promises given to man that if we follow the law, that certain things would happen, certain benefits would occur in the life that we're here leaving. So what are we going to leave behind? What are we going to leave our kids? What are we going to leave the children? It's a very fun movie that you folks might want to watch. I wouldn't suggest that your children watch it. It's called The Devil's Advocate. Go rent it from Blockbuster Video or one of the other stores. Learn something from it. There's certain things going on in that movie that I think you'll find very astounding and very pertinent to what's going on. What occurred here last week with the acquittal of our president says something to me. It bothered me greatly, but it was we, the people, that made the decision. You see, every time I hear somebody say, well, what is the government going to do about this, or what is the government going to do about that, those are those people's choice. They want the government to take care of them. When I talk about a properly organized trust relationship and fiduciary responsibility for the beneficiaries, those are for the individuals that want to take back control of their family organization so that fathers and mothers can spend time raising their children. See, there's too many outside parties in our life right now, and I understand why. When this nation was the most powerful nation in the world, there was 30% of the population that actually worked. 30%. There wasn't any unemployment figures. Now it takes 2.5 incomes to support a family. So in Cats in the Cradle, what happened is the time has been stolen. Families could live on 25% of their income, and the balance went into savings. The wealth of this country was phenomenal. But an incredible thing happened. A plan came along, and it's called Social Security. At that point in time, America stopped saving. They started spending. So from one of the most powerful nations in the world, prosperous, we went to the highest debtor nation in the world. So as the gates open up, there's all kinds of adverse parties out there that are taking and taking and taking. It's your choice. Do you want to establish an entity that that will live on for generations? Or are you going to just kind of continue on the path thinking that the government's going to take care of you? I loved it in the inaugural speech when our president said, take back responsibility. So what I'm talking about is living by the law, following the law. Any questions that you have, hit the button, call in. We're here. There's a very wonderful organization that has been in existence since 1967. And it's an organization, a private foundation, that educates trustees, educates families to honor and sustain the law. If you feel our legislators are honoring and sustaining the law, great. What about in your own family situation? This particular educational organization that educates trustees is available to you. But the only way that you'll be able to enroll and get information on this organization is you will need to write to Harvest Trust. P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. It's extremely important to understand that the laws of trust are recognized throughout our civilization and civilizations all the way back to the dawn of man. They're recognized by the Internal Revenue Service as lawful entities when managed properly by the Board of Trustees. Yes, may I have your call, please?
Yes, I'm David in Columbus, Ohio. And I'm calling, I guess I'm wondering, I'm thinking about what to do with my estate. I'm retired, and I have no family for various reasons. And what I would like to do is to leave whatever I leave behind to a non-profit organization, namely one that trains seeing eye dogs.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And one of the reasons I want to do it is that this is a very good school. They get absolutely nothing from the government. It is entirely supported by endowments, and contributions, and money that they can raise and whatnot. Now, one thing I've heard about for many years is a thing called a charitable remainder trust. And I was wondering if that would be advantageous, or should I simply will my estate to the school? Which do you think is a better way to go?
Well, the Charitable Remainder Trust is an entity that was designed so that you can donate money exactly, as you've said, to a sole beneficiary, which would be the Seeing Eye Foundation, and it is a wonderful foundation. Within the complex trust entity, it's quite a bit different than a charitable remainder trust, in that as the grantor creator of the document, the essence of a complex trust, it has to have a charitable purpose. But the charitable trust within the complex trust entity is a non-governmental foundation in trust form. So the funds that accumulate in that fund can be used for other purposes, to expand other related trust entities to further the cause of the foundation. Now, as the grantor creator of a complex trust system, is you certainly can have the sole beneficiary of that particular trust would be the charitable foundation, which would be established in whatever name you chose. The recognizable ones, of course, are the Ford Foundation, Rockefeller, and so on. So within it, you can also shift the giving. And so if there was a like purpose, my suggestion would be in establishing a proper complex trust document to find another foundation which wants to further the cause of what your initial goals are. So, yes, you can actually take the entire estate form it into a complex trust. And as you, when you, the executive trustee, go on, the board of trustees would then shift to the Seeing Eye Foundation. Absolutely possible, and that would be a wonderful thing to do.
Right. In other words, my objective is to be able to live off the income from my investments and whatnot while I'm still alive, but to have whatever is left when that time comes go entirely to the Seeing Eye Foundation.
You know, what you could do is you could create a trust along the normal lines that Bob is talking about and make the Seeing Eye Foundation the beneficiary. And what you do is, after you have divested yourself of all property to another trustee so that you're not involved in it whatsoever, and then those trustees turn around once you are penniless, so to speak, you don't have any more property, they can appoint you as one of the trustees. There must be two trustees, minimum. They can appoint you as one of the trustees of the trust, and you can live for the rest of your life being paid a salary or under contract as a trustee. And then when you do the trust document, the declaration of trust, you can stipulate that upon your death that the foundation becomes the trustee, or you could have a neutral party, a third party, become the trustee, which is exactly what would have to be done because the beneficiaries can't be trustees, and then administer the fund or the trust for the beneficiaries, which would be the Seeing Eye Foundation. And you could do it as a complex trust, and it would be very interesting you not only have the basic trust where the foundation would become the beneficiaries, but you have a charitable foundation which could also administer funds to other like purposes for blind people. And I think that if you sat down with somebody who really could draw this out for you and explain it to you really well, I think you'd be very happy with that kind of arrangement.
I think so, and I thank you very, very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling. Yeah, the last caller that called in on the Seeing Eye Foundation, I sat next to a lady on a plane going to Charlotte, North Carolina, and she had just picked up her dog. And what a touching thing that was to hear her experience as the trainer turned over the animal to her, and that dog sat right at our feet on the plane, and she explained what that organization does. See, Congress ruled that any activity that removes or lessens the burden of government is a charitable activity and cannot be taxed. See, we the people have a choice. We can provide and help stimulate worthy causes in this country, and that is what a complex trust is all about. Because within a complex trust, you have the ability, as the Board of Trustees, to flow money to the private charitable foundation and do philanthropic work, charitable activities that serve the public good, just like the Seeing Eye Foundation. What a wonderful activity. And please write me a letter, care of Bill Cooper at P.O. Box 970, Eager, Arizona, 85925. And once again, the phone number out here is 520-333-4578.
It's not 970. Where do you get that?
I'm sorry. 940, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona.
Write to 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925.
You know what I love about this? This guy did this to me once before. We were on the bridge of the Oriskany. And as we were walking around the bridge of the Oriskany,
That's an aircraft carrier, folks, when I was in the Navy, when I was navigating this ship.
Well, there I was in the bridge of this ship with all these phones, dials, and switches, and buttons to push. And I said, can I call my girlfriend? And I reached over to grab the red phone. And he said, no, don't touch that one. And so In the studio, I'm a little bit lost, but I'm slowly dialing it in.
You're doing fine.
Thanks a lot. See, folks, living in trust, there's a shift. There's actually a shift that we go through in our awareness. And that awareness shift is we came in with nothing and we're going to leave with nothing. So what we do while we're here, what we do with the estate, what we do in our society, why don't we do something worthwhile in protecting the assets of the estate, providing charitable donations, contributions back to our community. See, you're living by the higher law, because love and charity are the same. If you love someone, you love them unconditionally. Or do you love them with conditions? See, a complex trust is an irrevocable trust, but the only thing that is irrevocable about the trust is that the grantor creator, the intent, can never change. Now, as generations go on and on, boards of trustees change, and sometimes the mission or the family mission statement changes and goes in another direction. Because as wealth accumulates, which they naturally do in a properly organized and managed trust, estate wealth doubles on an average of every 4 years. Now, two or three generations down the line, as the wealth expands, because assets are held properly in separate trust entities, so if there's a suit that comes in, it's isolated within that entity. But the business affairs of the trust go on. The family trust headquarters, is wherever they are in the world, still go on. When a trustee dies, the trust still goes on. So what we do and how we run and handle our fiduciary responsibility to the designated beneficiaries is extremely important. There's a number of agencies out there and professionals that would suggest that, oh, you don't need a trust if the income of the business and family affairs is, say, less than $25,000. Well, I was involved in a conference phone call down in Florida to a gentleman that owned a chain of cleaning stores, laundromat with a co-siding with the little cooperation of a dry cleaning shop. And out of the four stores that he owned, a young lady walked in one day and there was a broken pipe and she slipped and she fell and she broke her hip. It was a very terrible accident. But what happened was the predators came in and they accessed everything that this chap owned, except for one cleaning store that happened to be in another part of the state. See, they didn't know about it. They couldn't access it because the county records didn't show it. Well, this particular individual called me up one day and he says, you know, my good friend, my attorney here has been representing me for life, told me that I don't need this trust entity. My income doesn't warrant something so sophisticated as that. And he said, would you please talk to my attorney and explain this to him? And I said, well, I'm sure that you don't want me to do that. Well, after some coaxing and so on, the conference phone call came about. And in the room, his lifelong friend was there. And I said, why are you advising your client not to organize the affairs in a proper trust entity? And he says, well, quite frankly, the type of trust that you're talking about is only for those people that have multi-million dollar estates. $6 million should be the minimum of a trust like that. Well, quite frankly, the last trust that was organized by the educational organization that I'm affiliated with, the very trust document cost $1.3 million. So he had some basis of truth there. But I asked him, I said, you know, if this gentleman was properly organized in separate trust entities and there was an accident that occurred, would they have wiped out his business? Would he have gotten a divorce? Would he have lost his life's income? And the particular attorney said, no, I guess he wouldn't have. I said, wouldn't it have been isolated to the one owner, the one trust? And he says, well, you do have a point. And over the phone, what I heard brought tears to my eyes because the man on the other side of the phone realized that everything that he had worked for, the wife that he had, was all gone. You see, what destroys more marriages in this country, it gets down to two elements: communication and monetary issues. Well, the door slammed, the attorney left, and I listened to this man for about 20 minutes saying, Mr. Swan, Mr. Swan, that man wiped me out. Don't let it happen to you. Become educated. Become knowledgeable. Understand that America is the largest litigative society in the world. They're out there. There's good attorneys and there's predator attorneys. We like to refer to the good attorneys, and there's numerous of them. I work with a staff of incredible legal people, CPAs, attorneys, and advisors. You see, there's the preservers of the law, and then there's the predators. Where do you want to be in this scheme of things? The number here, once again, is 520-333-4578. And for a private phone conversation and information, write to William Cooper, 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. Well, I'm enjoying the questions tonight, and I'm sure there should be a lot more out there, so don't hesitate. Call in. Ask your question. But you know what? I'm not surprised that the number of calls coming in here is so small, so little. Very few people take the option of what we're offering here. Because the fear that we're under every day has now extended from fear to terror. And the only enemy, the only predator that I see out there, it's not frivolous lawsuits. It's not the IRS. It's the lack of knowledge and fear. That is the predator. Because once you empower yourself with knowledge and you live by the law, what is there to fear? It's very amazing, but 3% of the population push this nation to the freedom that we know today. Breed's Hill. What went on there? What actually occurred that day? You see, there was an incredible man standing at the top of the hill, Colonel William Prescott. And as he looked down, picture Boston Harbor, if you would. It was just kind of tidal, oozy mud. And he looked down onto the flats of Boston Harbor. And the man on the ship, the captain, asked his lieutenant, who is that man on the hill? And the captain says, that is Colonel William Prescott. Will he fight? To the death. You see, on that hill, fighting for the very freedom that you enjoy today, were men, women, and children that said, enough is enough. We want to be free. We want to live free. So a battle ensued. What happened then? What's happening now? what's occurring in your life that changes that should occur? What would better your life? Not very many people out there take this option that we're offering today. But if you seek the truth will set you free. But that freedom, what is that freedom that I'm talking about? What is the essence of freedom? Intuitively, don't each and every one of you know that there's a different way to live? There's a different way that the most powerful families in this world live. They live in trust. Stewardships range from very small stewardships to very large stewardships. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, hi there, Bob. This is Bob from New York.
Well, how are you there, son?
Doing fine, doing fine.
Good.
Hey, listen, I wanted to talk to you tonight about someone had mentioned to me about a family limited partnership versus a complex trust. Do you know the differences between them?
Okay, keep in mind one thing, Bob, that any statutory entity can be changed. Family limited partnerships, limited liability companies, LLCs, corporations are state-driven entities. So what happens is when those entities are set up, you go to the state and acquire their entity, and then you live under those laws and rules. Those laws and rules can fluctuate and change. And I'll give you an illustration of that change and how things fluctuate. Remember, there used to be an entity called a Delaware Corporation?
Yes.
Okay, boy, that was the hot one on the block, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay, what happened? It went to a Nevada corporation, and then a Nevada LLC. And now there's a Wyoming LLC and a Utah LLC. You see, when you go in that direction, what you're going into is quicksand. Because what happens is people head into those statutory-driven entities, laws change. And so I like to equate it as to a net going around the entity. They change the laws, and all of a sudden you find yourself in a different position. The complex trust laws have not changed. They were firmly written into the law of contract, into the Magna Carta. That came forward into the common law of England as firmly placed in the Constitution of the United States under Article 1, Section 10.
Yeah.
No state will impair the obligation of contract. So why would anybody in their right mind want to go out and say, please, may I have one of your entities? See, Bob, the problem is most people are out there seeking permission. And when we seek permission, we're not in control.
That makes sense. Like I say, it was brought to my attention, and I didn't know how to address it and answer it to the person.
One of the there's an individual running around the countryside that is promoting family limited partnerships. The only entity which he recognizes in trust is a trust to handle the insurance policy for the taxes. Now, think about that. Why would anybody in their right mind go out and get an insurance policy, pay premiums to pay their taxes? Who promotes those entities?
Yeah, sure. I understand. I wanted to ask you also, since I have you, we're talking together tonight, how is it progressing up there in Oregon?
You know what, Bob, I'd like you to call me there, and we will talk about that later, one-on-one and personal.
Okay, that sounds absolutely fine. Okay, I just wanted to have that question answered so I can relay that back to the person.
I'd love to talk to you. Give me a call next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Bob.
Okay, sure enough.
Best to the family.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Every now and then, a person in the studio needs the incredible inspiration of Bill. I'll tell you, he's been an inspiration in my life. A man that said he would defend and protect the Constitution, and he does. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yes, hello, Bob. My name's Richard. I'm in South Carolina. And I had a question for you. I've been looking into trusts, and I really haven't done anything. But about the same time, my wife recently got a book by John Childers.
Can you speak up a little bit? And,
okay,
thank you.
By John Childers, and it's a guide to Nevada corporations.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I'm quite sure that, as you say, that that is not the way, at least I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
But he mentions in there several rulings by the IRS in the early or the mid-70s, 75-257 through 75-2-60, as compromising business trusts. Do you know anything about those rulings?
Well, you know, the IRS changes rulings on a regular basis. The entity complex trust is outside of that. When you look into various publications and so on, they'll say these rules pertain to blah, 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 except for certain trusts. The complex trust in its essence and in its being is outside of most of the regulations that confuse us. The confusion which generally comes in trust would be the operation. Is the trust being operated by a board of trustees, or is it being operated by a sole individual? So purely the operation of the trust can shift it into another governing area, such as if there's only one trustee. That would be self-serving. The IRS would like to come in and say that we'll just make this all personally taxable because you're utilizing it as an alter ego. The complex trust rules have not changed since the beginning, and it is an entity which is used by most of our legislators.
Now, is the term complex trust, I don't think I've heard before, is that analogous to common law trust or a pure trust?
Yes, yes. See, the power or the laws which developed the Constitution of this country all stem from the common law of England. And in the Great Charter, the Magna Carta, the laws of contract were firmly written into the Magna Carta. So bringing that forward, all of those laws are still in place today. So the complex trust, and I like for people to think about the word complex and how do you feel about it. And it's the definition of a complex trust in the Internal Revenue Manual is any trust that does not qualify as a simple trust as explained above, which that's the shortest definition out of 10,000 pages of code book. So, and there's 91 different trusts in Black's Law. So when we start looking at trust relationships, the managements of trusts, and so on, they vary. But the complex trust has been recognized since the formation of the Internal Revenue Service as a very powerful entity because of its self-enacting aspects of law.
So basically, as I understand it, I can send and could even go further and help me actually execute this.
Absolutely. The private foundation, educational foundation, has been educating families since 1967 to live as trustees, constituting a board of trustees, and develop charitable foundations. Yes, yeah, please do write a letter, and I will call you and send you more information. Thank you very much. You know, please understand, folks, that it'd be very beneficial for each and every one of you to go out and purchase a copy of Black's Law. In there, there's the definitions of many, many different entities. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm asking about the contract or business trust.
Yes.
Who is this?
This is Bob Swan. Hi. How are you? Who is this?
This is Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Stuff, but I'm trying to get the straight scoop.
Well, did you listen to the broadcast the other night?
I just got called tonight, and I've been listening tonight, and are we on the air or what?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Are you the one that doesn't trust?
I'm a trustee in a private foundation that educates families. Yes, I am.
Okay. Now, you're claiming that the trusts are under statute law, even the UBO?
The trusts are, see, we're living in a society right now where there's statutory enactments to be able to engage in business and so on. So a properly organized trust entity needs to function within the common law or the right to contract as well as work within the statutory realm.
Oh, no. I think you're wrong there. Statutory trust or statutory law is based upon the fact that you and I are not able or literate enough to deal with our own position, and so therefore we need statute law to run our trust.
No.
No, excuse me. I have the court cases to prove that I am right.
Excuse me. Hold on. You are right.
For 14 years.
Hold on. You are right. Bob is talking to people who don't have the guts to do the right thing and live by the...
No. You listen to me. Listen to me. I'm talking contract...
Listen to me. I'm trying to tell you that you're right. Bob is not talking to people like you and me who understand the foundation of the law and the constitutionality of the right to contract.
I've never had one of my trusts broken.
Excuse me. Nobody has ever suggested that you have. Good night. You know, it's funny how people call in. They don't listen. I said the man was right. He is absolutely right. When Bob's talking about following the statute law, he's talking about 99% of all the people out there who haven't got the guts to do what I've done and what this gentleman who just called has done and what others have done. If you haven't got the guts, then you've got to live within the statute law of the federal government. The truth is that they're enacted by acts of Congress, and acts of Congress do not apply to citizens within the territorial boundaries of the states. We're not arguing with you. Bob is not talking to me and to those of us who live by the real law, but to the people who are scared to death of the federal government and must live within the statute law. That's who he's talking about. That's who he's talking to, because those people aren't going to go against Big Brother. They're cowards at heart. So don't call in here and get all upset. The first thing I said when I addressed the caller was that he's absolutely right. And he didn't listen to me.
You know,
he had some agenda that he wanted to serve. And let me tell you something. The only agenda that's served on my broadcast is mine.
You know,
you want to serve your agenda, you get your own broadcast.
You know, it's really interesting, Bill, and for the folks out there, we did a diagram the other night, and it was the bulk of the population. Those are the zero-option people with no work, no assets. They're homeless. They're broke. And the next line up were those individuals that just wanted to get out of the system. They didn't want to play the game anymore. I would venture to say that most of those people that don't want to play the game anymore have incredible abilities, but most of them are broke. You see, there's laws out there, there's options out there, so that you can take advantage of knowing the law and expanding your abilities and work within lawful entities. You can expand business. You can protect your family.
You mean legal entities?
Legal entities.
Legal is different from lawful. Lawful is constitutional. Lawful applies to what I'm doing. Legal applies to what people who want to go ahead and file and pay income tax, even though they can't find a law that requires them to do so. And in fact, everything they look up tells them that they don't have to.
Right.
Well, that's legal because, you know, it's been passed into a legal statute, but it's not lawful.
That's right. So, no. Yeah, I understand that. What I'm trying to suggest here to the folks out there, there's other ways. There's other options. And if we do not provide for our families, what are we doing? We're not giving them hope. What about the dreams? What kind of dreams do you folks have? Are you dreaming or have you lost the ability to dream? See, what I'm talking about is living the law. Living in an entity that will preserve and protect family assets for generations to come. The forms are there. The law is there. Information. How can we assimilate it and make it work for us?
You're listening to WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, USA. This is the Hour of the Time, and I'm William Cooper. Now, folks, let me just sort of interject this thought in here. There are people who want to live constitutionally in a free republic with liberty and freedom for all. That's me. And that's a handful of other people out there. Most of you don't want to do that. So you're going to have to play the game. You're going to have to file the forms. You're going to have to pay your taxes until you get the cojones to stand up and do the right thing. Now, when Bob's talking to you tonight, he's talking to those of you who fit into that category. And Bob talks that way because he's one of you. You know, he's a great guy. I love him and everything. But Bob hasn't mustered up the guts to do what I've done yet. Neither have you out there. So he will teach you how to go into trust, live within the system, obey the statute law, file and pay your income tax if you're required to file and pay your income tax, and stay out of trouble with Big Brother. For those of you like me, we don't give a damn what Big Brother thinks or says. We're going to live according to the law within the boundaries of the Constitution, and we're going to do our very best to keep the tiger called the federal government confined within the bounds of the Constitution from which it has escaped. So, the purpose of this broadcast is not to argue those points between those two different classes of people. The purpose of the broadcast is for those of you who are afraid to get out of Big Brother's corrupt and unlawful and unconstitutional system, who want to live within that system, protect your assets, be able to pass them down to your children when you die, so that you can ask Bob questions on how you can do that. End of rant.
you got to love Bill for his fight. And we know when, and I honor and I want to acknowledge right now every law enforcement officer out there that understands what Bill is talking about. When the servicemen in all of the wars took an oath to defend and protect the Constitution of the United States against enemies, foreign, domestic, what are they protecting? What is the Constitution? What is the Declaration of Independence? What is the law behind those documents? It is the natural law. It is the law of sovereignty. You see, in this country, this is not a democracy. Well, that's a topic. It's a republic. You see, the United States of America's government was formed on the principles of trust. Who are the trustees in this situation? Who are the beneficiaries? What is the contract? See, the contract is the Constitution. The trustees are our legislators, and we, the people, are the beneficiaries. Is there any defrauding going on of the beneficiaries? What choices do you have? What options do you have? So when I'm talking about living in a complex trust entity, I am talking about living under the highest law known to man, natural law, the law of stewardship. You see, when William Penn said you'll be governed by laws of your own making, he was talking about self-enacted government. In a properly organized trust entity, there's a board of trustees. You vote. There's beneficiaries. The trustees operate the trust for the benefit of the beneficiaries. and there's a charitable purpose. So the declaration of trust, please grasp what the power of declaration really is. The declaration of independence, where our nation gained its independence, is firmly written into that power of declaration. The Constitution is the law, or what would be the indenture, the direction, the duties of the trustees, the laws that the trustees must follow for the benefit of the designated beneficiaries. Don't fall into the trap. If you've established a trust document, that you own it. If you own it, then it's personally taxable to you. The IRS calls those abusive trust arrangements, and I'll tell you something, I've seen a lot of them, and they are abusive. Because there was only one reason why those people went into the trust that were established, and that was purely to get out of paying taxes. That is not why people should go into trust. The reason why people should go into trust is to understand that they are working under the highest law, the law of stewardship. I'd kind of like to just touch on the covenant one more time. Didn't the Creator give man a covenant that if we followed the law and we were good stewards, our future generations and generations thereafter would be just fine? That's the law I'm talking about, honor and sustaining. The number here, 520-333-4578. Call in with your questions. Look forward to talking to you. You know, I think one of the greatest gifts that God gave us is our spirit of imagination. You see, through imagination comes creation. Can an artist paint if he's bogged down by lawsuits or fear? Where does that spirit come through? How about a composer writing beautiful music? Do you think they're worried about anything? Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling in about trust.
Yes.
Do you have like a basic cost for setting one up? Or?
The cost to establish the document through a private educational foundation is $9,500. It is a lifetime educational opportunity because once you have enrolled in that educational organization, you, your successor trustees, beneficiaries, extended family members, any person working for the trust as an agent trustee, such as a CPA, can attend the workshop for life for free. Well, that's great. If you write a letter to Bill at 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925, we'll include your phone number and I'll give you a call and I'll discuss it at length with you.
Okay. Can you repeat that?
Sure. 101.1 FM,
okay.
P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. And if you just include your phone number, I'll be happy to call you back. That way there won't be any delays in me getting back to you.
Okay. All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You see, let me explain something, folks. The reason why I'm asking you to write in a letter and include your phone number, I know you're probably aware, but there's a lot of crooks out there. And the educational foundation that I'm involved with will not provide this trust entity to anybody that is suspected of doing anything illegal. See, you can't go into a trust relationship if you're going to defraud somebody. That's called trust fraud. It's illegal. If you have IRS bills and payments that need to be made, don't establish a trust document and think that you're going to get out of anything. We're not talking about getting out of anything. What we're talking about is for those folks that want to follow the law and establish a generational plan for their families. Freedom takes responsibility. And the only way you can be a responsible trustee is to gain the knowledge. And the truth is usually attained from those people that already possess it. So you should learn from the people that teach it. That's what we do. We've been teaching living in trust and honor and sustaining the law since 1967. It's your option. You know, let's take a look at what freedom is. What is freedom? What is freedom to some of you folks out there, and how can we attain it? Quite simply, Bill gives a illustration of freedom, and that's when you can actually walk out the door to all of those possessions and say, hey, I'm free from it. We're talking about getting rid of the attachment. See, the Donald Trump syndrome of he who dies with the most toys wins. How many of you have actually bought into that? My stuff, my house, my car. Once we give up possession, once we give up ownership and attachment, and it goes into many, many different areas. Ego, possessions, I guess money would be a possession. But once we're able to give those up, then we can actually become stewards. What is wisdom? Isn't wisdom using your intelligence or your applied knowledge? See, I believe the elements to freedom are wisdom and charity. Because when you give to needy causes, when you make a difference in somebody's life, you cannot believe the reward that comes back. The word reward is not always monetary. The reward is felt right inside of your very soul. So once you understand the principles, and that's all you really need to understand about what a trust is, do you align with the principles of stewardship? Owning nothing, but controlling it for the benefit of the generational family. So what I think we need to do is get beyond our intellectual senses and start working with our intuitive senses. Probably each and every single one of you out there that are listening tonight intuitively know that there's a different way to operate. And before the last caller came in, I was congratulating the servicemen that took the oath, the police officers, the individuals out there, the law enforcement people, people in all agencies that understand law from all directions, all the attorneys that are listening right now, whether you're a predator or a preserver, it doesn't matter to me. Because I'll tell you something, in each and every single one of us, there is this goodness, there's a heart, there's a soul, mostly. Some people probably have burned out in the soul department. But when you look at your children, when you look at your wife, your mom, your dad, what's your responsibility? Isn't your responsibility to take care of that family? And if there's certain things out there that are destroying the freedom, the ability to preserve and protect, you need to do something about it. For all of the people that are out there that are trying to stop the knowledge of trust, the wonderful principles of what this country was founded on, take a look at your family. What should you do differently? Should you make a change? Should you discover the truth and follow the law of stewardship? I love the topic. The light's not coming on, but I hope you're beginning to discover the essence. Because see, the tranquil mind, the unconfused mind, the mind out of fear, taps into an element that is so powerful. The spirit of imagination, creation. In establishing a trust document, the individual establishing it is called the grantor creator. Once the document's in place, it's governed by the board of trustees for the benefit of the beneficiaries. I know Bill's in the other room listening to this broadcast. And I sure wish he was feeling better tonight, because he certainly has words of wisdom that he could partake to each and every single one of you. See, he fought in Vietnam. He's fighting right now for the freedom of his family. An incredible thing was going on today in the Cooper living room. Both of the girls were playing, and Bill was rocking and rolling with them. There was a movie going on at Luau over in Hawaii, and man, they were having fun. One of the things that has always impressed me the most about Bill Cooper, for those of you that know him, you'll know that this is absolute truth, is that when those girls come into the room and they have a question, all business stops. How many of you out there treat your children like that? What is the most important thing in your life? Well, I'll tell you something. In the Bill and Annie Cooper family, the most important thing in their life is their children. I've seen phone conversations say, "I'm sorry, I will have to call you back." This is a man that I wish I was more like. Because I get so overwrought with what I'm trying to do in helping families fortify themselves, I should spend more time with my family. Tomorrow morning at 4:00, I got to get in a vehicle and drive 1,500 miles back to the trust headquarters to take care of business that will be going on next week and the fortification of families across this country. I miss them. I'm away from them. Remember the song that we started with here? What are you going to leave your family? How are you going to protect them? What I'm talking about is providing that knowledge and education to you. So be sure and write William Cooper, 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. And the phone number here is 520-333-4578. I'm Bob Swan, trustee. Had an awesome experience about, 2 years ago. There's an incredible organization called the National Center for Policy Analysis. It's located in Dallas, Texas. They analyze what's going on in the government and so on. But there's another side entity that is run from that organization is called the Philanthropic Roundtable. I happened to be in a meeting in San Diego, California, and in that meeting there was over 600 of the largest foundations in this country. As I sat there, I sat in awe of the power. So much power, it made me sick to my stomach. Because what are those foundations doing? Is it for your benefit? or is it for their benefit? Quite frankly, they are honoring and sustaining their law to preserve and protect generationally their families by utilizing complex trust entities and foundations. But in that particular meeting, various trustees from various very large organizations across this country were talking about what we do. And I said, you know, what we do is we educate trustees, plain and simple. And they said, my, we've been in trust for generations and our beneficiaries don't care. Why don't they care? You see, the accumulation of wealth starts to destroy, because it starts to destroy the senses. All of a sudden, the money is wagging the dog, or the tail is wagging the dog. The money is wagging the individual. They lose control. They lose sight of the essence of the natural law. And when they lose sight of that, things start changing in their life. Are they really being good fiduciaries? Are they happy people? But in that philanthropic roundtable discussion, what I learned from those other giant foundations is most of the generational family, the children of the most wealthy and powerful families in this world, do nothing. They live off of the wealth, the accumulated wealth, which is in the hundreds of millions and trillions of dollars, but those beneficiaries do nothing. Do you know where the brain trust of this nation is located? It's located in the individuals that said, we're not playing the game anymore. What that brain trust is free thinkers. Free thinkers that want to make a difference. They took the step and they said, hey, I'm out of here. I want to do something different. This isn't working for me. I've talked to many families and many, many business people that have been totally wiped out by lawsuits. One individual that I talked to a while back, actually over the last 5 years, he was a pilot with Braniff Airlines. Well, there was an investment opportunity at Braniff. It's called Wind Generators. Remember energy credits? Well, this individual went along the energy credit line and invested heavily, and a number of years went by, and all of a sudden the tax breaks were retroactive and there weren't any. Braniff laid off a whole number of pilots when they downsized. This individual happened to be one of those pilots. Eventually, he got a job at Federal Express flying a cargo plane. Shortly after his employment, Federal Express laid him off because he was under an attack by the Internal Revenue Service, the kind, friendly, the new, improved Internal Revenue Service. They levied his wages. The man has nothing. He has been fighting that organization for the last 12 years. I helped educate him, and I said, you know what? It's time you start over. You've been beat up. You've been kicked down. You've been destroyed. His wife is a shaking leaf. Everything that they own is gone. What I'm helping them do as a foundation and as a trust educator is rebuilding their life. Because the most important thing and our responsibility is to take care of our families. What kind of men are we if we're letting our families starve? Not very good. The cat's in the cradle. You know, when I hear that song, tears come to my eyes, because I was that busy father. I was working those hours. And on June 26th of 1992, a document was established, and since that date and time, our family has been free. The essence of freedom was instantly felt when I walked out of the doors of the educational workshop, because I realized that there was a different set of laws and rules to live by, the higher law. And they're firmly written throughout all the laws of this country, England, Germany, and France. They're out there. Do your due diligence, as Bill Cooper would say. Discover the knowledge. An incredible volume, which I would highly recommend. It's Bogert's 6th edition, Practitioner's Guide of Trust. Read Black's Law. Look up the word trust. If you have a 1904 Webster dictionary, look up the word trust. And in that particular dictionary, it's about 5 pages long, very small print. Get a magnifying glass. And in it, it said, as one of the examples, Standard Oil Incorporated was basically tired of the regulations of the inner corporate businesses throughout this country, so they put Standard Oil in trust. You see, when you look out there and you see corporations, the largest, most of them are held in trust. By empowering your family and your business, what you're going to discover is you're going to have more time. You're going to have more time for the family. As I discussed earlier, the employment rate back when this nation was the most powerful nation in the world, it was only 30%. There was no unemployment figures. Families were together. Businesses were flourishing. Families grew. And then Social Security came along and America stopped savings and this nation went into the highest debtor nation in the world. The payment is coming due, folks. But the payment is the loss of our freedom. The only way that I know of to regain freedom is establishing a lawful, legal trust document and follow that law, live by that law. It's never changed. The number here, 520-333-4578. And I'm going to have a little sip of water here. Bill's walking up to the mic.
Oh, boy. I'm back. Number is 520-333-4578. I can't believe nobody's calling to talk to Bob about how you can protect your assets and your family and set up, as we have done, our children as the beneficiaries in a trust, so that instead of doing what most American families do, which is just literally, I'd like to use a word that I'm not supposed to use on radio, but literally just wash everything away during their life on pleasure or building up their old age. One of the worst mental attitudes of most Americans is that the family really doesn't matter. Now, don't tell me that's not true, because I look across this country and I see that it's not only true, it's the way things run. For instance, where is your grandmother and your grandfather? Are they at home? Or are they warehoused away in some old folks' home where you don't have to watch them die? And don't tell me that's not why they're there, because that really is really why they're there. So you don't have to take care of them. They won't be a burden on the family. And you don't have to watch them die. And you don't have to answer your children's questions about death or illness or sickness. You want them out of the way, right? Now, if grandma and grandpa were lucky and they lived a good life and saved up some money or made some good investments, then they're probably living at home with some kind of a medical care supplement to their Medicare or Medicaid, which is a socialist suck-off-the-government scam, which, in a way, enslaves them to the government as far as their health is concerned. And most of everything that they've ever earned is going to die with them. Most of it. What doesn't go to provide for their health care, ladies and gentlemen, will go to lawyers, or will go to the state as inheritance taxes during the probate of their estate because their assets were not protected. Does that sound familiar to you? How many of you become really angry at immigrants who come into this country and live as families and all contribute to the family monetary wealth and purchase businesses? And while that business is bringing in money, they use that money to purchase a business for another member of the family, and pretty soon you have a dynasty of business or restaurant chains or 7-Eleven stores owned by a particular family that doesn't quite yet speak perfect English as an accent. And you hold it against them because you don't have such a thing. It's because you don't have a family mentality. And they do. They do. Everything is done as a family. All the way down the line, all the way back up the line. That's the way it started off in this country for most families. And somewhere along the line, Americans gave that up. I don't know why. I don't know why. I certainly have not given it up. Now, why are you working your butt off? I know, or have known, so many people who have literally worked themselves half to death. They buy a house. They live in the house for 2 years. They consider the house an investment, not a home. It's not really a family. They don't even talk to each other. The mom and dad work such long hours that the children hardly ever see them. They never sit down to dinner together. And when they're at the home, they all park themselves in front of the television set, and there is no conversation whatsoever. In 2 years, they sell the home. They realize what they call a profit, and they move on to buy another home, which is a step up in their investment ladder. And in the meantime, they're working their tails off to get some kind of a promotion at their job. For what? If you can't have a family and enjoy your family and enjoy your children, what are you working for? What's the meaning of it? What difference does it make? Doesn't make any. We have some kind of a warped sense of value in this country. It's got to change. You see, the reason things are so bad in Washington, D.C. is because they're that bad or worse in the town where you live, in your county, and in your state. Everybody today seems to be operating from a point of greed. What's in it for me? How much can I get out of this? Etc., etc., etc. The reason that I had Bob come out here from California to do this broadcast is because when we developed our family trust and our business trust and our unit trust and our charitable foundation trust, we did it through the organization that Bob is a trustee and educator with. And it cost us a lot of money, but it was done right. It was done properly. and we have a continuing education in trust law available to us. I have absolutely nothing to do with what Bob does. I have absolutely nothing to do with the foundation for which he is a trustee and which helps to bring people into trust in any capacity whatsoever. I brought him here to present to you a method by which you can change that non-family attitude. You can change the method by which your assets disappear through the years from all kinds of different reasons, but specifically when you die. If your children get even a small portion, or whoever you will it to, even get a small portion of what was there when you die, they're very lucky. If you're all working for the common good of the family, you're very lucky, because most families don't. Each individual in the family is working individually for their own greed, satisfaction. And this is why a lot of trusts fail, ladies and gentlemen, is because the trustees still consider the assets in the trust to be their own personal property and they act accordingly. They think it's going to protect them from lawsuits and from taxes and all kinds of things, but it will only happen if you properly administer the trust. Or, if you can't do it, contract with some third party or third parties, and there are many of them out there, who will
follow the law
and operate the trust properly for the benefit of the beneficiaries, not the trustees. They say, well, what happens when the beneficiaries grow up? Well, quite simply, the beneficiary documents are passed on to other beneficiaries, and the beneficiaries, once they have divested themselves of any ownership or benefit from the trust, then become the trustees. If the trust is operated properly. And then they administer the trust for the benefit of the trustees, which are usually their children.
Generation after generation.
Generation after generation after generation. Haven't you ever wondered why the Mary Jo Kopechne family did not sue Ted Kennedy? It wasn't because they didn't want to, ladies and gentlemen. It's because their legal representatives told them that it would be no use whatsoever. You see, Ted Kennedy is the beneficiary of a huge trust. He doesn't own anything. When he became a father, he probably became a trustee. He owns nothing. He has nothing. They could get nothing from him. He didn't own the car that he was driving. Wouldn't do any good to sue him. The most you can do is press charges against him. Didn't you think it was strange when the young Kennedy was accused of raping the young woman, and instead of suing him, they pressed criminal charges? They didn't sue him because they couldn't sue him. He doesn't own anything. I don't own anything. My wife doesn't own anything. The trust owns everything. The children are the beneficiaries. And everything that we in the trust does is for the benefit of the children. Everything. I don't even own my underwear. And that's a fact, ladies and gentlemen. I contract to the trust that while we are the legal guardians of the children for the trust, as long as we are functioning in our fiduciary capacity as trustees, the trust will take care of our basic human needs. Any education that we need to have in order to continue to administer the trust properly is provided. But nothing else. Nothing else. I can't take trust funds and go to the movie. Do you understand what I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen? I can take my funds that are paid to me by the trust as trustee and go to the movie if I want to. And I paid, well, I'm not going to tell you what I've paid, but it's almost nothing. I make about $2,000 a year, period, as trustee. That's it, folks. And it's not income.
You know, it'd be a fun exercise here, Bill, and you can, being a constitutional scholar, isn't this a trust relationship right here? That we, the Cooper family, in order to form a more perfect union, you see what happens in trust, the husband and wife become the board of trustees for the benefit of the beneficiaries. The more perfect union is established through communication. The law states that the family must act for the benefit of the beneficiaries, the board of trustees, and maintain a communication and document those in the trust minutes. In order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, that means follow the law, to ensure domestic tranquility, that's only can be done through communication, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and listen to this, and to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution or Declaration of Trust. But what were the words there in the Constitution? To secure the blessings of liberty. And for those of you that know the Scriptures, 1 James 25, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of this work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds.
You misread it. Do it again. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed.
You see, the perfect law of liberty is the trust. In God we trust. So, in following the law all the way back pre-biblical times, it is written into the Constitution. So, what Bill has been talking about here is the responsibility of the Board of Trustees, which quite frankly are our legislators.
What I'm talking about is being far more responsible than most of you ever will. What you'll do if you go into trust is you'll go into trust to protect your assets. And you'll live by a law which is not the highest law of the land. You will live by it because you live in fear. Bob's been telling you not to live in fear. You do live in fear. You will live in fear. And you will kowtow to your masters and you will pay the tribute that is requested or demanded of you rather than do the right thing. In our family, in our trust, in fact, in everything that we do according to the law. And if we can't find it in law, we don't do it. And if somebody comes and demands that we do it, we ask them to produce the law that requires us to do it. If they cannot do that, we tell them to take a hike, take a powder, and if you want to come back and try to force a law upon us to which we are not subject, we will protect and defend our freedom by all means necessary, including the force of arms, if that is required. We really believe in the law. We really live under the highest law of the land. We really believe in these things, and we really carry them out. And we know secrets. We know secrets that you may never learn. All of those of you who profess to believe in liberty and freedom, most of you are liars. Most of you have been liars all your life. You see, if you're not willing to seize what is rightfully yours. And if you're not willing to die for it, you can never have it. Will never have it. Period. Now, the foundation that Bob is a trustee for does not tell you which law to obey or how to do it. They will help you go into trust. They will prepare the trust documents. They will be lawfully and legally right and correct. And as long as you administer the trust properly, you have nothing to worry about whether you do it my way or whether you do it the way of the tyrant. It doesn't matter. But you have to determine which law you're going to live under and follow it to the letter. If you're like most people, you're going to live under the law of the tyrant. And if you're going to live under the law of the tyrant, you have to obey the tyrant's laws, which means you have to know them. And if that's the law you want to live under, the foundation will teach you how to do that without getting in trouble, without losing your assets or your ass.
You know what's incredible is...
Which I think is the first three letters of assets.
What's really incredible is people that understand the power of trust and operating lawful trust entities. What happens is businesses flourish. Those businesses hire more employees. You see, there's a lot of people out there that actually are quite content at being wage earners. Many, many thousands of them. So they might look at slavery as being freedom. You see, just give me my 40 hours a week. Give me my paycheck. Give me my beer. Give me my football game. And they're happy. That's all they want. Just tell me what to do. Now, there's another group of people out there that go out and form corporations and so on, franchises that they lease from the state. And they provide employment. There's people out there that go and form trusts, which some of the trusts, corporations are held in trust. But what are they doing? See, they're providing the jobs. They're providing the workplace. They're providing the employment, the revenue, etc., that makes everything work. But what's going on in our country right now is so much of it is being taken away by various things. Higher insurance costs. Why the higher insurance costs? Well, quite frankly, because there's extreme payments being paid out, millions of dollars in frivolous suits. Thus, higher insurance costs.
$7.56.
Thanks, Bill. So, by establishing and living to the law of trust, what will happen in this country is businesses have the ability to preserve and protect, isolating assets into various trust entities, isolating and protecting. So if a lawsuit hits that business or that family, they can isolate it, deal with it with a qualified attorney that can represent the trust, a preserver of the law. Business goes on. Businesses flourish. The country works. You see, by following the law and living in trust, the country will do just fine. What are you going to do? Do you like the way things are going, or do you want to change them? It's your choice. The way I see things going is there's going to be a great number of the population that won't have any choices in the near future. What's going to be your choice? Do you find the knowledge? Do you go after it and do something about it?
you see, the immigrants that came to this country, they were tired of what was going on over in Europe. They wanted something better. They wanted something so powerful. Freedom. It's there. You can have it. But you have to take the responsibility to learn the law, follow the law, so that when an adversary comes in, you know the answer. That's what we're here for. It's to help you discover and to know and to live in accordance with the laws of this great country. A country that was founded on trust. You, the beneficiaries, need to go back to the trustees, our elected officials, and say, you are not following the law. You are defrauding the beneficiaries. We want you to follow the law because we're going to follow the law. Now, demand it. Because if you don't demand it, what's going to happen is it isn't going to be there anymore. But I will guarantee you one thing. Those individuals that understand the law of trust, that live in trust, will do very well. And the formulation of this country, the Industrial Revolution, where did the money come from? Giant European trusts built this country. Those very giant European trusts still own this country. So as we go through change, the philosopher in Greece, Heraclitus, said, there's only one thing constant in life, and that's change. And any species, if they do not adapt to change, that species dies. There's a change coming. There's a change occurring. Are you going to change with it, or are you going to be consumed by it? Hey, it's your choice. Rich people aren't any smarter than poor people. They just get smarter sooner. The way I would like to describe what I've talked about, the gentleman that called earlier and started getting up in arms about statutory this and statutory that, is we live in a statutory world. We also live in the world of contracts. We live in the world of trust. So as we get onto the highway of life, the highways and byways, and we travel, are you going to get into the express lane, or are you going to stay into the traffic? Because quite frankly, the road less traveled is the road to freedom. Get on the road less traveled. Empower your family. I'll tell you something. Over the last two radio broadcasts, we might have done a disservice. Because I'll tell you something, once you have knowledge, you can never go back on not knowing. You know it, what are you going to do about it? I'm Bob Swan, I'm a trustee. Right, 10.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925 for further information. We're here to purely educate and help America preserve, protect, and prosper. Thank you for listening.
Good night, folks. God bless each and every single one of you. And thank you, Bob, for coming in and giving everybody an opportunity to do something that can help them out like you did us a few years back.
Thanks, Bill.
Oh, for spacious skies, for amber waves of grace, for pearl. Country.